The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Looking around, I finally see, I think I need a change. The rat race, I wanna flee, my world I'll rearrange. I'm getting back to the roots of how it's meant to be. Growing gardens, picking fruit, racing livestock, living free. It's a modern homestead. Build a modern homestead.
Hello and welcome to the Modern Homesteading Podcast. We are your hosts, Harold Thornbrough
and Rachel Jamison.
I'm glad you're joining us today. Today we're going to talk about something really timely. We're going to talk about growing onions and getting started with seeds, because this is the time of year you would start. Well, for us, for you and I, this is the time of the year that we got to get seed started for onions if you're going to plant from seed. So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about how you can start later if you don't start from seed, or if you're in other parts of the country, there's different way to go about it. But It's a timely podcast for people, so we wanted to get that out there and just encourage people to, hey, if you ever wanted to grow onions from seed, now's the time to be thinking about that. So we're going to talk all about that, kind of a beginner's guide to growing onions on the homestead. It's kind of got what we're going to do today. But before we jump into that, what's been happening on the homestead, Rachel?
Well, we ended up going for a hike yesterday.
Nice. Because you guys got a lot of snow, don't you?
No, we don't. We actually drove all the way in our property, which is the first time we've been able to since we owned it in the winter. We have maybe like 3 or 4 inches. Okay. We got a ton of it and it melted. Now it's like this crispy, we got some really wet snow, so it's really crispy on the top. So we drove back into the property and took the dog for a hike and checked on trees and stuff. Just because I have one tree that I can't tell if it got broke off by wind or if a deer ate part of it, but I have one of my apple trees that has the top gone now. So we went out there to check on that, and I ordered some seeds that came in, and that was exciting. I was going through the package last night. There was onions in there.
Yeah.
And I'm starting some onions. I actually was going to yesterday and just kind of ran out of steam. So
where'd you order your seeds from?
I have them from MI Gardner.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Great. Luke.
Yep.
So
I also got some seeds in the mail, and they were onion seeds. Also, I'd ordered from Baker Creek. I got some, I'd never grew these before, and they're really big white onions. And it seems like the onions I've been growing the last few years have been like about medium size onions. And I've been having the best luck with the purple ones. They've been doing really good. And I love them. They're great. But I wanted some of them really big, nice white onions. And a couple of the varieties I got were like Globo and this Ailsa Craig. I don't know anything about them, but I got them from Baker Creek, and everything I read about them looked great. They had a real high rating and stuff. And so I ordered those and got those started actually already. So got them in seeds going, and yeah, get the onions started. And I also potted up some of those elderberry cuttings that I had in my aquaponics system. Some of them, the roots were getting really big, so I went ahead and potted up a few of them. And some of them that I just stuck in recently, they're just really getting started. But those ones I had in from the beginning, those roots were like 8-9 inches long and really thick. And I thought I better go ahead and just get those in a pot, because those are, get them in some soil and set them in the greenhouse there down below, and let them kind of get acclimated to some soil. So I got that going, and we got some snow up here. It's been cold weather. It turned off pretty cold, and we got a little bit of snow, and we got a lot more coming this week. Of course, people were hearing this a week later. So yeah, we got a lot more coming this week. So I've been working on the house a little bit. not too long ago, I put that hardwood laminate flooring in our living room, and I'm going to do the kitchen. But before I can do the kitchen, we have some spots where it's got like a hardwood floor underneath of it, but it's rolled, not real great. So I've been having to fix that. So there's some parts that are kind of busted and cracked. So I've been getting down the basement, kind of piecing those up and replacing some of those boards and stuff like that. So I've been getting it ready to put laminate down in the kitchen rather. So housework, I guess. But when there's a lot of snow outside and it's cold, that's the time to do that stuff. So, but yeah, that's what I've been up to.
My husband is doing some trim and stuff in the house, but
I still got to do the baseboards. I put that laminate flooring in the living room, and I haven't put baseboards down yet. So it's like you got that little gap all the way around. Yeah, I still have to do that. So it's like when you have a house, there's like always things in progress, it seems like.
Right. Well, and the price of things right now is just it doesn't make you want to go spend your money and do it. Right.
Yeah. It's coming. Some things are coming down a little bit. Like some lumber's starting to come down a little bit, but it's still high. I mean, it's still way more than it was, 3 years ago when it all started.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that. So, well, let's do our daily or our weekly book recommendations. What book do you want to share with
us? One of my favorite books, which I've read several times.
Yeah, you turned me on to this one.
Yeah, 10 Acres Enough. It was written in 1864. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you kind of follow this guy and his family's life. And he talks about how they decided to choose the property they chose and just all of the...
They left the city to go...
Yeah, they left the city.
Good story.
They did it for health purposes then, which I'm going to assume then it was like, inside the city, people were burning like coal and it was just a dirty, dirty place. And so they were left the city.
They were like Pittsburgh or something. I mean, they were in a big like Pennsylvania city or Philadelphia.
Yeah, which would have been big coal.
Yeah, country. Yeah.
And they left the city and they bought this little homestead and renovated it and did some things that we've kind of been talking about on the podcast, like alley cropping and kind of like, it looks a lot like civil pasture, but wasn't called that then. And of course he talks about them
kind of come back around and
isn't it? And then he talks about how they were selling in the city. And of course they were using trains then. And it's really, I love this book.
I love kind of these biographies and autobiographies of the life of homesteaders, and that's, I went in kind of the same vein this week. I decided to see what you shared. I thought, well, I want to put The Good Life is a book I'm recommending this week by Helen and Scott Nearing. I think I turned you onto that book. I don't know if you've read it yet or not, but it's funny because I actually started rereading it last week and I wasn't even going to include that, but then I seen the one you included. And I thought, well, this is kind of like I said, in that similar vein. And these are folks, and this is like, they started, I think, in the 60s, I think, maybe it's a little before that. But anyway, they spent years living a self-sufficient life, and they document their journey. It's Helen and Scott Nearing, and it is amazing. Like he actually lived to be over 100. She was I think in her 90s when she wrote the foreword for that book, and she was still living this way. And so
that's right. Well, I started to read it and she's old. She was younger than him.
She was a little younger than him. Like, I don't know, a few years younger than him, but yeah, he lived to be over 100 and she's like I said, going to probably hit it too. I don't know if she's dead now or not, but, great book. But I'm going to tell you what I admire. Like they lived a lot different than me. They had a lot of different, viewpoints on life. They were vegetarians. Their political standings are just, I mean, you can just tell they're a different breed than me, but I was just so enamored by their discipline more than anything. Every day they got up and they did what they called 4 hours of bread labor, which they worked to supply the food for their home for the year. And they did this over a 3 or 4 month period for the year. I mean, they did put in their 4 hours a day of bread labor. And then they had so many hours a year that they put in for their income. And they mostly did that with tapping trees for syrup and sugar. So they did that for their income. And then they had so many hours a day that they dedicated for like personal growth where they did reading or art or whatever. And they were just so disciplined about it every day in their life.
Yeah.
And I just love, I don't know, the structure was fascinating to me how they did this, and they document it through this book. And it's just neat. I don't know. It's just neat to see, you know, and read about. It's a great book. If you've never read it before, it's called The Good Life, and it's worth picking up. So that's my
recommendation. I did buy it, but I have not. I kind of started it and then I forgot about
it. Really
it.
Good.
I love that.
About
idea.
Halfway into it gets really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
They built their own home out of stone. And I mean, it's a great story. Yeah. You'd really enjoy it. I think it's one of the books that gets better the further you get into it also.
I feel like we're so distracted in modern society when you look back at stuff like that and the discipline that people had. Yeah.
Well, I think they were they were kind of ridiculed even back then for their strict discipline and how they lived their life, but it worked for them and it worked well. And I mean, they even like when they ate, exact timing every day, what they ate, they kind of had this, like, here's what we're going to eat each day. I mean, they just had it really scheduled and planned and like every day of their life. And it was kind of amazing.
Wow.
And I'm fascinated by that kind of structure.
It sounds almost like the military or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they had fun, but they let themselves plenty of time for, like I said, the things they wanted to do every day. And then they even used the winter months for like writing and speaking and things like that, because they were both kind of this educated people who wanted to go around and share their journey with people. And I don't know. They set it up in a way that really worked for them. And people stayed at their home. They had like guest house they built, and people stayed and helped them do some work, and so they could share the knowledge. And you know, just, it was pretty neat. Yeah. They just had a neat setup. Huh.
Sounds good. I know that I bought it, and I need to start reading it because I've been distracted by other things.
Yeah. Well, both were good stories this week of just people who like to read stories like that, you know? So I think we're going to be getting into a lot more of the educational type books, because I have a lot of those, and we'll probably start sharing a lot more of those as time goes on.
Yeah, I do too. Yes. Yeah, I have a really thick one I'm reading right now that's like 600 pages. So
yeah, well, that might be your book for next week. Who knows? We'll see.
600 pages and a week. No.
Yeah,
I'm trying to chew on it as I'm reading too.
I read like three books at a time. So I'm always like, I always read a book that doesn't have anything to do with homesteading. So it's usually more religious based.
Right.
And then I always have a book I'm reading that's more like just inspiring, like this one, The Good Life. And then I always have, I'm always diving into like one I'm reading more for like education, you know? So I'm always reading like three books at a time at least. So, and I usually kind of just dedicate a little bit of time to each book. So that's kind of my schedule.
I usually am too, because I've got two book clubs going.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing a lot of that. So yeah. Anyway, Well, let's jump into our topic for the day. And we're going to talk about growing onions on the homestead and why you should grow onions. Why should a person grow onions, Rachel?
Because they taste good.
That's the biggest reason I grow them.
Personally, I mean, I'll be honest. I think you may have been growing onions longer than me because of my limited space. I only started growing them like probably 3 years ago outside of chives.
Since I've been gardening, I've been growing some onions.
Yeah, I don't know why I just never dove into it until the last 3 years.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And then last year was the first year I did them from seed, and I had really good success doing it from seed. So
yeah,
of course I'm doing it again this year, but they just, I don't know. I mean, who doesn't love sauteed onions on a burger? Yeah,
the onions, culinary benefits just, are the biggest reason to grow them for sure.
I mean, I know they're good for you, but they sure taste good too. So I mean, for me, we just love them.
A lot of health benefits. I mean, Quercetin, I think, is what's in them, or something.
Quercetin,
something like that.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, Q-cetin? There's something in it. But anyway, it's supposed to be a cancer preventing.
Good for allergies.
I'm not reading anything. I'm kind of going off memory what I've read about them and stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of things. And there's a lot of studies out there. Like if you Google onions, you know, the health benefits of onions, you'll find some some university studies on onions and the health benefits of onions. They are considered a health food. They really are. I mean, it's something that's worth growing for the health benefits, and it's a good thing to include in your diet if you can. There's some people who can't stomach onions. Most people like them to a certain amount. I love them. I mean, I'm not one of these people who pick up an onion and eat it like an apple, because I know people like
I'm not one of those, but yeah.
Yeah, but I do like a sliced onion on a sandwich, or onions in like all my dishes. And I just like to, you know, I mean, tacos with lots of onions on them or whatever. Yep. I put them on everything. You know, I love onions.
I pickled some this year.
Never pickled had a red pickled onion. Onion. Never had a pickled onion, but it sounds so like it might be pretty good. Or can you ferment onions? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do people ferment onions? I've never tried that.
They do. I haven't tried it, but they do.
That might be something to look into.
I should try it with red onion. I really like red onion. It's one of my favorite, but you know, there's so many different onions that you can do sweet and spicy.
We like the sweet onions.
Such a variety that you can use them for that. I mean, I really like red because they tend to be a little bit more on the sweet. We like the sweeter.
I like sweet. I like the red too. My wife likes the white onions just because they're just for the culinary stuff. They're just kind of like the traditional onion for slicing and putting on things. And she likes those. I like the red ones because I like to put them on everything and it just tastes a little bit sweeter. The purple.
Yeah. And if you cook them, red, they taste different than if they're raw.
I find the purple or red onions easier to grow too. I mean, they just seem like they're more durable. Yeah, I don't know why.
That was my experience last year too. When I grew them from seed, the red onions just, they got bigger and they were a little bit easier to grow. So, yeah,
that's why I went with those, ones I ordered this year. Generally I've, collected the seeds and we'll get into that a little bit here. And I collected seeds and just kind of continued on the ones I've had. And I think I actually started the ones I started growing. I actually just picked up locally at like one of the feed stores and, you know, picked up the sets and just started and just planted those. Then I collected seeds from those and then I've kind of continued that on, but this year I wanted to order something. Like I said, they've been like more like about, I had a couple different ones. I had the red or purple onions, but they were like a medium sized onion. They weren't real big. And then we had some white onions. Again, they weren't real big either. They were kind of a medium sized onion, but I wanted some of these really big ones. So I'm really trying that for the first time this year, the couple, you know, varieties that are kind of supposed to be really good for that. And we'll get into a little bit about the different types here in a minute. But another reason that I've planted onions, especially since I've dove into the world of permaculture a lot more, is for the companion planting benefits of onions.
Yeah.
Onions are like garlic because they're all in the same family, are really good at masking smells, which will prevent pests from coming into your plants. So if you plant them around a lot of your plants, it'll mask the smell of those plants and prevent a lot of that. So I plant them for that reason. I've got them scattered. When I have a garden, they're everywhere. Like they're around every garden bed.
Yeah, that's kind of my intention this year, even like with the onions and the garlics, is deer pressure.
Yeah.
Using that to kind of keep them at bay, since we seem to have quite the problem. You know, our neighbors have all left. We don't have a lot of neighbors around us right now. And the deer have discovered how wonderful the area is again. And so I have a feeling I'm going to be battling this again this summer. my plans are to put onions everywhere and garlic. So
yeah, that's been my practice here for the last couple of years, especially. I've really been just scattering them around everywhere. And it's nice too. And you forget where you even have them. Like you'll be walking after, oh, I got onions over here too. When it's time to harvest, you know, and you just popping them up everywhere. And I do dedicate an area of a bed just solely to them, because I want a lot of onions. We grow a lot of onions because we use a lot of onions. It's just one of them kind of staple crops in our household. It is. That it's something we just eat a lot of, and we find them easy to grow, and you know, and they store decent, and I mean, so they're just nice to have. So it's just one of them plants that we like to grow, you know, and we use a lot of. So yeah, everywhere. We just want them everywhere. So that's the reason. That's why you should grow onions, because they taste great, they're healthy, and they're great companion plants.
And they
if you didn't like eating them, planting them around some stuff for the companion benefits would be great to do. Yeah.
I love planting them. Like if you plant them with like tomatoes, it's just nice because the tomatoes are like a bush crop, and then you have that root crop right next door, and they just work so well together because of that.
That's a good point. Yeah. You put them around trees and things too, to help some pest prevention. And we can get into a little bit on the different types of onions, because there's also perennial onions, which aren't like your biennial onions, and those work really good in permaculture settings, like in guilds and things like that. Those are even extra great for stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about that here as we jump into onion types. Now there are four kind of onion types we're going to talk about. There's long day onions, day neutral onions, and short day onions, and perennial onions. So, for you and I, there's probably one kind of onion we're growing most. Well, there's two really on this list, but as far as biennial onions, there's really one. Which one is it, Rachel?
walking onion? Or you said
for the biennial onion.
Grow Walla Wallas.
They're a long day onion, probably.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You pretty much have to grow long day onions where you live. Yes. I'm kind of on the border where I can do long day onions are going to do best for me, but I could also grow the day neutral onions where I'm at. And they would do great here. But yeah, long day onions are just more for zone 6 and colder. And the difference is the bulb formation. It's what they call them a long day onion is because on a long day onion, you need at least 14 to 16 hours of daylight before it'll initiate the bulb formation. So those grow best in zone 6 and colder. They're usually planted in late winter to early spring. Usually indoors because that's the only option we have. Yeah. So we're having to start them indoors. And so we have to stick with the long day onions mostly, and they grow great where we're at, especially where you're at. I mean, the long day onions will be great. So
they grow really well.
Yeah, they do really well. And then there's day neutral onions. And now they initiate a bulb formation at 12 to 14 hours of daylight. You can grow them. They can really grow in any of the zones. They can grow down south, or they can probably grow where you're at. They just ain't gonna grow as well. But they're really do best in zones 5 and 6. So you just have to, when you're buying seeds, look for what they are, or sets or bulbs or whatever. Make sure you're getting the right kind for your area.
Yeah. Right.
They will grow everywhere, but they'll grow best in zones 5 and 6. And then you have short day onions, which I know nothing about because I've never had the privilege of being able to grow them. They initiate bulb formation at 10 to 12 hours of daylight, and they require mild winter climates, zone 7 or warmer. Usually, then here's the difference, a really big difference with them. They can be planted in the fall and harvested in the spring, but they can also be planted in late spring and harvested a little bit later. So a lot of your people down south, folks down south, listen to this, you're probably planting onions in the fall. And that would be weird to me, you know, like I can't even imagine, you know, and then harvesting in the springtime, which would be great, but that's a short day onion you could do that with. So again, I've never had the privilege of being able to grow a short day onion because where we live. That would be neat. That would be neat to be able to, you could probably pull it off in a heated greenhouse in where
you
I
probably
live.
Could. I think it's probably just has to do with the ground freezing because they would just rot here.
If you wanted to have like some raised beds in a greenhouse and pull it, and it was heated, you could probably pull them off here, but it would take some work and it would take a little bit extra. But as far as growing them outside, yeah, that's what you'd have to have. So that's kind of the difference in those three varieties. Now there's something called perennial onions. And I'm really new. Well, I've grown chives, which are a perennial onion.
Yes,
and scallions, which are a perennial onion also. Now, I've just recently been introduced to walking onions, which you have been growing for a while. And I'm just going to be growing
them. I love them. They're definitely on the spicy side. And they're small.
I haven't ate any yet, but I have some growing in the greenhouse. And I also have some planted out.
They don't get real big. I would say they're more the size of a shallot. Probably.
Okay. These look like the ones that were sent to me. They look like probably just slightly smaller than a golf ball.
Yep.
Is where they were when they were sent to me.
They don't get real big.
That's probably
big.
As big as they get. Yeah. Okay.
And what happens is with these is they're cold tolerant. So if it freezes here, they do just fine. So what happens is you put that bulb in the ground, it grows up and you get the green part. And on top of that, every year, so it's not biannual, it's annual, every year it will grow the typical flower that you see on the top of onions where it grows in that big circle, and it'll grow the little seeds on the top, and it just, and they look like little tiny onions. So they're not like, they start as seeds, but then as they grow, they turn into like these little
bulbs. Like a clump, like a clump of onions.
But they're small. They're like smaller than a dime, and they get heavy. They tip over.
Plant themselves.
And they plant themselves. And that's why they're called walking onions.
Yeah.
And they.
So they're really not a true perennial. They're an annual that plants itself every year. But
very readily,
that's kind of people would consider that a perennial, anything that just replants itself like that, I guess.
Yeah. And I think they call them like bulbets. Mine, they're Egyptian walking onions, but they, even here, I'm zone 5 and they have no issues. Like,
so
they're very prolific.
Let me ask you this. Does it, so it makes like this hoop of green.
Yeah, it just kind of falls over.
So to harvest, you would just cut the green and then harvest this year's growth and let the new one.
Yeah, that's what I do.
The green.
Yeah.
Okay. I was curious. Yeah. I figured that's how it would work. You just cut it and pull up the old one and you got the new one growing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I try to, with these, they can kind of wander if you let them. So I try to direct where they go.
yeah. That'd work great.
They plant really readily. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to be overly picky about the soil. I actually took some out to our property where that's not the most ideal soil yet. They had no problems out there, and we had a drought. They had no problems with that. They have no problem. They're just really, really hardy.
My plan with those is to not grow them so much around my garden beds, but to use them in my guilds around my trees and things to kind of let them kind of, because I have that little filled in area there with other plants and they can just kind of walk around in there in those guilds. Yeah. And so I think they're going to be a really great guild plant. Plus, like, you're going to have those benefits of that you always have with an allium plant that it's just going to have that, companion planting benefits. So I'm really looking forward to having those there. Chives and scallions that I've grown as well. And those are great also to have.
So do you have, I want to get this. I have a friend with one and I emailed him and told him that I wanted some from him. He has something called a Welsh onion.
I've heard of them,
which is a perennial. It's a perennial onion also. Yeah. I don't have it.
Well, from what I understand though, the walking onions are actually a crossbreed of a Welsh onion and something else. I can't remember what else. They're actually they're a cross of that. I read that.
That's what I was reading.
Yeah, yeah. The Welsh is part of that.
And I was going to say, we have links to information on these perennial onions, but also if that last, that last little section where we were talking about the hours for long day and neutral and short day onions, I found a really nice
From Johnny's
map in Johnny's Seed.
Yeah.
On their website. And I'm going to link to that in the show notes because it is really helpful just to visualize
kind of seeds you should be getting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that will be there.
Mostly what we're going to talk about today are the biennial onions, your normal onions, not perennial onions.
Yep.
And we're really going to focus a little bit on the seeds too, because it's that time of the year for getting your seeds in. You don't have to start from seed though, but we're going to spend some time talking about planting from seed because that's just what we're doing right now. So there are three ways to plant your biennial onions, which is our main topic here. And you can do from seed, which is can be a difficult way to do it because it takes so long.
And space.
Yeah. And you got to do it inside because where we're at, because it's cold out. You can't, if you're going to start them, you got to start them on a kitchen table or have a grow tent set up in your house or whatever. So you just got to do that. So there's that way. You can do sets, which are the bulbs. Sets or bulbs, which we're going to call them, the little bulbs you buy, those are sets. And then you can do starts, which are little seedlings of onions or bunches. Mm-hmm. Some people call them bunches. Some people just call them sets or starts rather. And you can plant those ways. Now, if you're going to start later, you pretty much have to go with sets or starts. Yep. And it's easy. I mean, honestly, you can go down to the feed store and buy your sets. Now, I actually have a harder time finding starts. I think some greenhouses probably sell them, but I actually have a hard time finding, people selling like the onion bunches. We don't really find those around here. I don't know. Maybe some places it's just more common, but I don't really find starting with starts.
Right.
You can do your own starts. It's kind of what you're doing. If you're starting with seed, you're taking your starts out there and planting them, your bunches or whatever, and starting them. But yeah, those are the three ways. Now, if you're going to, like I say, if you're going to wait till a little bit later to do this, probably going to go with sets. It's just, seems to be the way most people do it. But I hear a lot of people say a better way is actually having the bunches. They grow bigger and better with the bunches than they do with the sets.
Been my experience. Like I was doing sets
or starts
when I do because I start my seeds and I plant starts from my own stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So I found that mine grew bigger than I was using sets.
Okay. Yeah. I've had pretty good luck with the sets. or I think it'd just be simpler if we call them bulbs, because I think people know what a bulb is.
They look like.
Yeah, they're a little bulb.
Like in this mesh bag,
and
usually.
You'll find them so easy. Yeah. I mean, you could go to Walmart and buy them like that. They usually have them there. Or you can
or
go to
any box store.
Like, I go to like Rural King or a TSC and they'll have like a, whole bin full of them. You can just scoop them up, put them in a bag. And I think that's how I started, you know, with them. And you can usually have four or five different varieties there, and you can make sure
a really
they're a long day
to
onion.
Start. Like,
it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
You will have a harvest of onions starting that way more than likely, unless there's just some freak event that kills them all. But I've always had pretty good luck with them. Like I'd say 98% probably grow to a nice, decent onion. You know, it's does fine. They're not, I never have the biggest, best onions, but they're great. Right. A matter of fact, I dug some out 2 days ago and chopped them up, you know, that we harvested. And well, I said tacos earlier. That's why it made me think of that, because we had tacos and I chopped up a couple onions so we could have some on our tacos we were having for dinner. And, you know, they were fantastic. They were just great. So, I mean, you're going to start with sets like that and you'll be fine. But I like starting with seeds. I actually do both. I won't lie. I usually start some seeds and I also pick up some sets, and I'll do it that way also. It's kind of a security thing for me.
Yeah. The whole reason I started moving over to seeds was, to be honest, I just wanted to make sure I knew how to do it.
Well, and there's benefits to it. Let's talk about some of the benefits of growing onions from seeds. One of the biggest is self-sufficiency, because when you can reproduce, like you said, you wanted to know how to do it. Cause when you can't get seed, you know how to get seed, you know, you know how to grow your onions from seed. And it is one of the more difficult things, I think, to grow from seed in some ways, just because it takes a long time for it to start going. I mean, to, you know, get going. And then it's just a slow growing. I mean, it's they one, take, some things excite you when you're growing from seeds. Onions is not one of those things. It takes forever for them to get going. It's why you start it so early. I mean, what other seeds do you have to start in like into January, early February? I mean, hardly anything.
Not many.
but onion seeds you do, because they are slow. Really.
And then
slow.
All you see is like this little green.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Nothing exciting. And it's so slow.
It is. You're thinking that this isn't working, but it is. It's just, that's just the way they are. That's why you start them so early. But
and the other reason is variety. When you go to your box store or to TSC, you're getting like your typical varieties of like, you know, Walla Walla is really common, or your sweet yellow onion. But when you go to like, you know, MI Gardener, or like you ordered from
Baker Creek,
they have just endless varieties, is kind of fun to play with.
Yeah. I was going through the catalogs and I just picked a couple that looked like they were the biggest and widest onions I could find. But
that's what I usually like for
so
big.
Many. Yeah.
I really want to grow a big onion and
and I've not had a lot of fortune with that. So I wanted to try some big onions this year.
Yeah.
But I don't think the ones I was growing were the biggest of onions anyway.
I can't remember the variety I got. They were a different variety. They were not Walla Walla, but I did the same thing. I was like, oh, big. Yes.
Which is another reason I like podcasting and blogging, is because I'll put stuff like that in the show notes. And if I ever really want to know, sometimes I can go back and find actually what that was that I talked about and find the stuff that I actually planted. Like there's trees here. I can't even remember what I planted, like the variety of apple tree or whatever, but I talked about them on a podcast and I could probably go find them in the show notes and remember what it was. So it's kind of like this online journal. I mean, self-sufficiency is huge. Knowing your seed, right? You know, seeing the different options that you can get in seed. But I like planting from seed and knowing how to collect seed and do all that. Plus, it's just cheaper. I mean, it's cheaper to buy seeds.
It is.
You get a bunch of seeds for just a couple dollars. I mean, I think I spent like $7.50 on onion seeds, and I got, I don't know, tons of them. I mean, more than I need probably seeds. So, you know, cost is another big reason. So I just like growing things from seed anyway. It's just, it's fun for me to grow things from seed. Some disadvantages of growing onions from seeds. Again, it takes a lot of time, a little more work because you're going to have to pay attention to them. You're going to have to water them. You're going to provide light for them. They're going to take up some room in your house while you're growing them. There are some disadvantages to growing.
Yeah, depending on how many seed. I mean, we use a lot of onion, like you said you do. And if you start the amount that you think you might need, that takes up a lot of space under your grow lights. So,
yeah. And But the thing is, they don't have to take up a ton of space for what you get to, especially if you're going to do like the bunches, because you can grow them in like, which we can talk about that in equipment that you might need here in a minute. But you can use like the traditional like little seed tray, like 72, you know.
Yeah, the smaller ones.
Yeah, the 72 thing seed trays. Or you could just like buy, have a pan and just sprinkle the seeds like crazy in there and have them grow in a bunch to where you pull them apart. I've done
that before too.
And they work really well like that. And you can just kind of peel them apart and plant them that way out in your garden.
Yep.
And that works really well. And they don't have to take up as much space that way. So we can talk about that more in a minute. But first we'll talk about when to plant onion seeds. Again, early, at least 10 to 12 weeks before the average last frost day in your zone.
Right, which you can find your zone by, you know, if you just
for me, I'm probably zones, starting mine a couple weeks even earlier than that, but that's fine because I got the room. I can make it work. I can even move them to the greenhouse at some point if they get too big, and you know, have that intermediate location there for them. But yeah, I would say 12 weeks before the average last frost date in your zone, and I can actually put a link in the show notes of a link you can go to find out what your grow zone is and try to just determine that date when to get those onions. For you, it's probably right now, probably is. Or for me rather, it's right now. Yours is probably more like a month from now.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to start some of mine, but I always start a little bit early.
Yeah, with onions that's not a problem unless you just don't have the room, like I said, to do it. But yeah, it's one of them things you have to start super early. So again, that's why we're doing this podcast right now. How do you plant onion seeds? Again, like I said, the equipment, you can just bunch them all together in a tray and do it that way, or you can divide them more.
You can do like a 10-20 units. Tray.
If you're planning on them growing a little bit longer, like me, like I do put them in like the 72 spot tray because they're going to grow a little longer for me, and I want them a little more individual because they're going to need a little bit more room to grow because they're going to get a little bit bigger.
I do the same. Me. That's why I said it takes up more room for me.
Yeah, right. But, so I do it that way. But again, if you started them, say 10 weeks before, and they're not going to be quite as big, just growing them in a big bunch is fine. You can just sprinkle a bunch of seeds in a grow tray and you'd be fine because you're just going to pull them apart, but they pull apart easy. They didn't like some plants where you're breaking stuff and doing a lot of damage. They pull apart. You just got to loosely kind of just pull them roots apart. They're not real tangled up like some plants are. I mean, they will bunch up and you got to pull them apart, but you won't really damage them and they do fine on the transplant. You just need some good soil. I always mention this when I'm talking about planting indoors, buy some potting soil, something is sterilized. Don't bring the soil in from your garden because you're going to have infestations of bugs and maybe funguses, and just go buy you a bag of good organic potting soil. It'll be worth it. Planting the seeds, you can space them. Some people do, like we're talking about.
Yeah, and they're tiny. They're gonna be really tiny. It's gonna take a minute.
They're little black seeds. Sprinkle them all over the place. You can do whichever. You can either drop them individually, or you can kind of sprinkle them all over a tray. I mean, sprinkling them all over a tray is definitely easier because they're so small.
Sure, right when you're doing it, it is. But you know, it sometimes is a little bit more work as they get bigger.
So that's kind of the thing. As far as caring for them, it's like anything. You don't want to let them dry out, but you don't want to keep it like standing in water either. You just got to be careful just to, you know, I always do like the finger test, and you want your soil deep to be moist about an inch deep for anything.
Do you use, I usually will put a little bit of vermiculite over the top of mine, but I don't always.
You can buy potting mixes that have some of that in it. So you're doing it just keep from mildew and things off the top of it, or mold or anything from off the top.
Yeah.
Of
and it also keeps that from drying out. My basement's like really, really dry. So it helps kind of retain some of that moisture. But
yeah, it can they do usually that. That take help. Like
they usually take about a week before you start to see anything
at least
come up. Yep. At least sometimes a little longer.
It depends. I probably keep my house a little bit warmer than you do. So that helps. I think if you got a little bit warmer house, it probably makes them germinate a little quicker. Yours probably a little slower.
So don't give up. Just keep.
Yeah. Hang in there. Don't think they didn't die. Wait a couple weeks before you start making any kind of determinations. Like I might have to replant these because you'd be surprised how long it takes with onion seeds to germinate.
They take a little bit.
Yeah. But again, I always like for moisture determinations, I always just kind of stick my finger down in the soil about an inch. And if it's a little bit moist, I don't water them. If it is dry, I water. But I do that like every day. And I just kind of do that moisture test. I don't want the top of it being wet, but I want it just under the soil surface to be moist. So I'm pretty much watering.
Like, don't soak
every other day, probably. Yeah. You know, if you're bottom watering, if you have a tray set up or you're bottom watering, that's ideal. The best way, I think. Yeah.
But if you are
watering from the top, you know, you don't want to keep that moist all the time, unless you're doing something like what you're doing with the vermiculite, which will help with that because you will get like a fungus growing.
Yeah. I think that's like the two. I know for me, when I started growing from seed, my two mistakes were, oh, like letting it dry out or having it too wet. So you do learn that.
I generally bottom water.
Which
works nice. You know, I generally have the two trays. I set the, you know, the 72 cell tray down in one of those trays that hold water. And then I'll just pull the side apart a little bit from the other one and I'll pour the water into the bottom tray.
I've started doing that too. It's
and it does work.
It's so much easier. And number two, I feel like my plants just,
and you just don't have to, I find I don't have to water as often either. I don't have to be out there because when you're putting it on the top, it seems like it just soaks to the bottom and you find yourself watering more. When you do it from the bottom up, it just seems to hold the water better.
Yeah, it does. It just, I feel like it does too.
Yeah. And, but there's a, you don't want to like fill it to the top. You would maybe come about halfway up on into your soil on the, on the cells. So it, there's a little bit of a learning curve on that. If you've never done it, to figure out the ideal height to fill your water up in that bottom tray. But I find it works really good. You know, a little side note,
or you can kind of make some of your own too. So
yeah, I was going to say a little side note on the trays when you're doing those. I find if you're buying those super, super, like I told you, I pull the side out a little bit to pour the water in. If you have those really super cheap trays,
they'll break.
I had pulled them out before and they crack and then it just burst and then water goes everywhere. But if you buy the little more, you know, the ones that are a little bit more durable. I can put a link in.
I was just going to say, you should put a link to the ones that you like.
What's that name of that website?
I was trying to think of it. That's why. Yeah, I can't think of it. I'll put the link in
where you can buy some that are a little bit more durable. And you will get a better tray. They're a little more expensive, of course, because they're built a little heavier duty. But I have, especially if you're using them like on a second season, first season, they'll probably hold up all right. Second season, they get a little more brittle. And then I've had them crack on me. So it's just a little side note there if you're watering from the bottom.
Yeah, my local grow store has some really nice ones, but I still want to buy the ones you have.
I'll drop the link in the show notes because I think that they are good trays. And they just hold up better. Yeah, they're just a little thicker and they seem to hold up better, last a little longer. So I'll put that link in there. But yeah, I mean, you just kind of keep that going and you just keep moisture, keep light. I mean, what do you do with the grow lights? You have a grow tent set up for yours, don't you?
So what I do is I have my grow lights and they're like emergency blankets that I bought for $1 when it was a dollar store. Yeah. Now it's the $1.25 store. And I put those around my shelves just because I pay a lot. My electric bill goes up during this time and I want all that light going on my seedlings and not being everywhere. So I put that up around it
too. Yeah. It helps with the heat.
Yeah. And it adds a little bit of heat because mine is in my basement and we keep our house at 62. So, I know I'm crazy, but
you can do it. That's great. We keep ours a little warmer than that, but yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And so that's what I do. And then, as they start to get bigger, I don't know if you do this, but I do kind of add a little bit of a fan to start to get those.
Yeah.
Those to get used
as part of the hardening off a little process. Bit. Yeah. We can talk about that in a second. I'll talk about my grow light setup for onions first, which is none. I choose to anger my wife and use the kitchen table for 3 months.
Oh,
no, I've done both. If I'm only doing onion seeds, I kind of go to the far I got nice windows right there beside my table. Well, and actually I don't have to do that now. Cause actually I have a shelf right in front of one of the windows and I can actually where I've been putting my microgreens and I can actually take the microgreens off and do the onion seeds rather there. My onion starts there instead. So, or I, in the past I have used the kitchen table though. And she's like, we can't even use the kitchen table for 2 months because you're growing. I'm like, yeah, I know. Sorry. But
this would imply that you would have to get sunshine.
Yes. Yeah. We get enough. I mean, I found that onions they do pretty well with just what little bits coming through the window. I've not had a lot of problem with it. It seems like they get pretty good.
But this would imply sun. We haven't seen the sun in weeks here.
They're okay. Yeah. It kind of depends on the situation, I guess. I've had pretty good. Right. Now I will, yeah. As soon as the weather starts getting a little warmer, like early morning.
Oh yeah.
And I do heat my greenhouse. So I will take them out there and it will do fine. They'll do fine out there at that point. So it's really just like maybe a month and a half, 2 months that.
Okay.
Maybe a month and a half. I'm really in the kitchen with the, I used to do grow tents and do have all the light setups in the house. But then when I got a greenhouse, I thought, hey, I'm going to use that instead. Yeah. Well, then I figured out I couldn't use it for everything. There's still that intermediate time there where I couldn't. So I was back to the kitchen table again. So yeah, I really should have some kind of a tent, like a grow tent.
I have a tent, but that's what I have made. So I bought these two tents. They're the same size. And I put my 4 foot grow lights in them. So I put them right next to each other. But as it starts to get warm and the days start to get longer, I take the lights down and I move those grow tents to the porch because they do have a clear plastic covering.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start putting my plants out there and then closing them in during the, you know, like spring-ish.
Yeah. And I have a bunch of grow lights that I'm not even using now because I used to have them all set up on my indoor aquaponics. Well, I've moved that aquaponics to the greenhouse now, so I don't have grow lights on it anymore. So I have all these nice grow lights that I'm not even using now.
Right.
So I really should make a, you know, put a shelf up and hang the grow lights in there and put a tent around it. I really should set that up. And you know what? I'm sitting here convincing myself that I think I'm going to do that.
I wish I had a greenhouse because I really don't. Even though my grow lights are LED, just the idea that my power bill has been going up.
Yeah, and which is why I even moved the aquaponics to the greenhouse because I was running those grow lights a lot, and it's a lot of electricity. Right. I mean, even though they're LED, like you said, even though they're LED, it's still electricity you're burning. And that, you know, if you cannot do that, it's better. So, but there is a lot of things I'm wanting to start this year a little early. I think that.
But probably I would so have to heat a greenhouse here, and I don't know. It probably outweighs itself for.
I'm even just thinking for tomatoes and peppers, I should probably set one up because I want to get a better start on that this year. Because I ended up waiting a long time for my tomatoes this last year because I got started with my
peppers
late.
Were really late this
year. Yeah, your peppers were really late. Yeah.
Yeah, my peppers were really late this year. So
that's how you can kind of get started with your seedlings. Now there is a process of hardening off, like Rachel said, with the fan. You're using a fan to kind of, you want to simulate them being outside and having breeze and having, it's a culture shock basically to transplant directly from your pots to outside. Yeah. So there's a hardening off process, like for anything you're growing from seed. And you can do that with fans, but then there's even this process of starting to acclimate them to the outdoors where you take them out and introduce them to sunlight, direct sunlight for, you know, a little bits at a time, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And you try to increase that over a few days before you actually do the transplanting.
Outside. And those days can get a little bit overwhelming because for me, I start a lot of my own seeds. And so I do a lot of plants. So I'm taking tons of trays in and out every night.
Yep.
But.
Yep. Me too. The greenhouse has certainly helped me with that because I don't have to do that. Anything that's been in the greenhouse, I don't have to. It just seems that it can just go directly outside. I'll open the door and let a little breeze flow through there for a few days, but that's it. And it's ready to transplant.
That's where I should probably be considering getting a bigger greenhouse than what I have.
That is one of the big bonuses of that transition. You know, that hardening off transition is greenhouse is nice. But 1 year forgot my plants out there.
Oops.
And had to completely start. Matter of fact, I didn't.
So did they freeze or did you fry them?
I fried them. Okay. I forgot they were out there and it was in the direct sun. And I mean, I put them out, meant to leave them out just a couple hours, got sidetracked doing something, ended up, we was going to go somewhere, jumped in the car, forgot to bring them in, left for several hours, come back, everything laid down flat dead. And I couldn't even start. It was too late to even start over from seed that year. So I ended up having to go and buy all of my plants that year and start, you know, and basically just wasted all the money. And so it is something.
So you're saying start your timer on your phone.
Be aware and don't forget because you will ruin all the hard work.
I have frozen things before. It's very rare that things get fried. If I was using a greenhouse.
Yeah, I've never left anything out all night, but I have forgotten left them out in the hard sun. And that will kill them just as dead as freezing.
Yep.
For sure. Yep. So that's why you can't, that's exactly the reason you can't just take them directly from end to out and plant them because that's what'll happen. They'll just lay down and die.
They're not used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll shock.
Just like you're not used to it. I mean, it would be like putting ourselves in.
Yeah.
You know, you're used to 60 degrees and putting yourself in the desert for a whole day.
You come out of Michigan and go to a Florida vacation in early summer and you're going to get toasted.
Yeah. It's like getting fried in the early summer, a sun tan or whatever.
And honestly, once you get your plants into your garden, you can make that transition and you transplant them. From that point, I find onions pretty hardy. I mean, as long as you're getting decent, an average rainfall. I mean, if you're having a drought or whatever, you're going to have to water them. But I find them to be more hardy plants that I'm growing. I have yet to have any issues
with disease or anything in mine. Yeah. So,
They're pretty hardy. So as far as caring for young seedlings in the garden, I just make sure they're getting some water. But other than that, I think they're pretty good. They do all right, at least for me. Anyway.
I feel like outside of starting them, they're one of the easier plants to grow.
Once they get going, I don't have any issues with them. I mean, I just find that they're one of them kind of carefree. I think it's part of the reason I just love growing them so much. I mean, I love the harvest and what you get for your.
I just love how they look too. You get them in their little rows and they're so cute.
I have one bed that I do rows, but like I said, most of mine I plant around my beds on like the outskirts and around things. So that's kind of how I
plant mine. I have one bed, or usually I have one very full bed of onions and one very full bed of garlic. And then, but I interplant mine too, but I do like that one little bed. I love just the little green stems.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you get there and that's really much it. And now this doesn't matter if you started with sets. Now here's the difference with sets or starts. Starts, if they're already acclimated, you want to make sure that they've been kind of acclimated and hardened off. But especially with sets, you go directly from taking those bulbs and just popping them in the ground.
Yep.
Directly outside.
Super easy.
Make sure you're planting them the right way. There's a little root in, and the roots are really small. You got to plant them the right direction. You push that root in down, not up. It actually, if you weren't paying attention, could be an easy mistake to make because it's the root end is really small. And it's just little tiny, you'll see the little root nubs kind of on there. That side's down, of course. So, but other than that, you just plop them in the ground. And like I said, you just go out there early spring, wherever you want onions, push those in. And I push them about an inch down where you just barely see maybe the tip sticking up out of the soil. So they're down about an inch basically, because they're only about an inch big, so the size of them is about an inch probably. So you're pushing them down in basically the depth of the bulb. And that's it. And it's that easy.
I do the same.
Yeah. When you're doing your sets though, I mean, you're taking yours out there and planting them.
They're a little bit smaller.
Push them down about the same. I push them down about bulb depth. Is that what
same
you do?
Yep.
Yeah. Bulb depth. And that's where I go with it. So super, super easy, to plant them. Are there some advantages to planting from sets?
It's easier.
Yes, it's easy.
It's quicker.
Quick.
You don't have to plan so far ahead.
And they're durable. I mean, they're when you're putting in the starts, they're kind of tender. There's these tender little seedlings, so you're kind of putting them in more delicately. I mean, with me, I take those bulbs and I just kind of cram them in the soil.
I don't even poke a hole. I don't dig a hole.
I just cram them in there. Yeah, I push them right in because my soil is pretty soft, but I just push them right in. You don't have to be careful at all. I just right direction, boom, inch deep, and just plop them in wherever you want them.
It's fast. It is definitely really fast.
You can drop 100 of them in just a few minutes, really. I mean, it's that quick and easy to plant them. Disadvantages.
Like I said before, you don't get as much variety. Maybe.
I have found, and I don't know if it's because of the varieties that I've planted or because I'm planting from sets, I don't get big, giant bulbs. I don't know if that's because I'm planting sets or if it's because of the varieties.
I felt like my onions that I grew, but like I said, I've only been growing them for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like large amounts. Before I had grown a few here and there, but I started growing large amounts 3 years ago. I felt like the ones that I grew from seed did get bigger, but I didn't do like scientific stuff.
Well, and here's the thing, those sets that I let go to seed and I've took the seeds, I think they get a little bit bigger. They're still not gigantic,
But yeah, I don't think
I think the varieties that are grown was a smaller one, but yeah, I think they even did a little bit, got a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I think I agreed. So again, you may not get as big.
The time, but
again, yeah, because they're still nice. I mean, I would say, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I might get slightly under tennis ball size versus a, you know, softball size, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You might get that kind of a difference, you know? Yeah. I would say tennis ball size, which is a nice onion. I mean, it's a nice onion, but they're not those big giant ones. Like I said, you'd buy at the store. Yeah. You go to the store and buy. Yeah. So I would like to get more of those.
I would too. I would too. That would be great
to have. So that's kind of the goal for this year of ordering those seeds that I did. Again, the advantages of planting starts, like we're saying, you know, the same as seed basically, because that's basically where they started from.
Yeah.
And if you can buy starts in your area, I mean, you might just go that route before you start from seed to try that. I don't see them around here for sale. So I don't really
one place that sells them. They're kind of pricey when you consider, you can order
them. I mean, you know,
yeah, online, you can probably order them, but they sell out pretty fast.
Yeah. I don't really
place where.
I guess in early spring, I'm not running around all the greenhouses and seeing what they got. They probably have them, some of the greenhouses, but yeah, you can buy those and just basically skip the actual trouble of starting from seed, but yet still get the same benefit if you were using starts rather than sets. The language gets tricky there. Starts or seedlings, sets or bulbs. let's talk a little bit about saving the onion seeds. Now, onions... these kind of onions are biennial, which means you get your seed, which means you're supposed to get your seed head every other year.
Right.
Now, if you have a hot and dry year, like we did this last year, I actually had a bunch go to seed last year.
So did I.
Yeah, in one year.
So hot. And
because it basically just tricked them into thinking it was, I don't know, they just got fooled and think it was their second year or something, and they went to seed. So I was able to get seed from 1 year onions this last year. And if you've never seen, I'm going to tell you what.
They're pretty.
They're a show off. They are a display piece in your garden when they go to flower. They're amazing. I mean, it is probably one of the prettiest flowers you'll have in your garden. They get this nice little globe, this white globe of, and then the seeds come from that. They'll dry out and you'll get these seeds. And basically you'll just take that. You can just take a bag or a bowl or whatever and kind of just beat that flower head when it all dries up into a bowl or whatever. And you get all these black seeds.
Yeah, it reminds me of a really big dandelion head. Just that big.
Oh, the when it goes to fluff. Yeah.
Yeah, when it goes to fluff, that big, but it's much bigger. But and it's really pretty. Unlike more, some of your other. Petals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike some of your other plants, when you let them go to seed, your yard kind of looks a little.
Well, when the actual seed develops on the onion head, it ain't quite so pretty because it dries out, of course. But while in that transition is beautiful.
It's and really like I pretty. Said,
it is. It'll catch your eye better than anything in your garden. Seen an onion.
You could grow it for ornamental easily.
You could. It's that pretty of a flower. It's a really nice centerpiece of your garden. But generally, traditionally, they go every other year. So you have to, so if you want to collect seeds, usually you will have to let a few of them continue on, die back for winter, come back next year. And that's not hard to do. They do fine. They generally come back really nice. And usually I don't even have to plan on doing that. I just miss a bunch and they do that. That tends to happen. So I end up getting a bunch that come back in places I forgot that I even had any because I didn't plant any there this year. But you know, I forgot to get some out of there because I do plant them all over the place.
I haven't done it a lot. Do you, as far as saving, do you have to worry about when you're growing several varieties? Do they cross easily?
I don't know because I've only really grown two varieties the last few years.
I've only let the one the white go ones to that I've gotten.
I don't know. I guess we should have probably dove into that a little bit. I'm not real sure.
I guess
you were just maybe just for the seed, it's a possibility. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not real sure about that. So I guess we failed our people, Rachel. We didn't do the research.
No, it says, so I actually had a link to Seed Savers and it says they're not difficult to grow and collect.
So there's not a lot of cross-pollination that happens.
Doesn't look like it.
Okay, well, good. Okay, so, there you have it, folks. We got the answer.
I didn't think they crossed really easily, but...
Yeah, I don't hear of it being an issue like you do with some other plants, but
like
yeah.
Like squash or something,
I would say a lot of people don't mess with onion seeds, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're so tiny.
Yeah, I think people just don't mess with them. But they're easy to harvest if you do let them go. And now storing onion seeds, everything I read says they don't store long periods of time. So pretty much when you harvest enough for 1 year, so basically you're harvesting, you know, if they're only getting them every other year, you're harvesting for that next year. And then you want to basically offset.
Yeah.
So you have some going to seed every year. So that's, I guess, something you'd want to do. So I guess maybe a year or two is probably the limit on onion seeds if you even store them correctly, because they just don't store well, I guess, from what I read. I've not had a lot of issues because I usually harvest and plant. So I don't know.
That's kind of been my experience. That second year, I have some older seed that last year I knew wouldn't germinate really well. And it didn't. I still had some germination, but it does lose it quicker than some seeds for sure.
Yeah, I think I've done some second year and I didn't have as good a germination too. Yeah. So definitely
it's not one like corn that, where if you store it well, it'll go for years.
Yeah. So definitely you're going to harvest those seeds in the fall and plant them in February, basically. It's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you live where we live, it'd be different if you live somewhere else, obviously. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the saving onion seeds thing. I mean, it's really not complicated. It's really easy. I find it be an easy thing to do. It's just timing, you know, like I said, spacing out that time because it's a biennial. Something people maybe wonder about is when to harvest their onions. And I find it pretty easy because you can harvest. I mean, I'll always harvest some of the greens for dishes throughout the year. I wait till they're at least 6-7 inches long before I start cutting any off of them, because I don't want to harm the growth of the onion. But you can start chopping some greens off and start using them in your cooking throughout the summer.
And I love this plant just because of that. You can
Onion greens are great. And I'll even pull up some of the, you know, like I'll eat green onions. Like I plant so many that we'll pull up a lot of them throughout the year and just eat them as just green onions, you know, chop them up or even just eat them, you know, have them as a side dish or whatever, and eat an onion like that. I guess we do eat them like an apple if we're eating the greens like that, because we do chop them up, put them in some salad or whatever. We do a lot of harvesting like that. But when it's time to harvest the actual bulbs and get that nice big onion, I wait till basically the top dies back and kind of lays down flat.
It's pretty obvious. I mean, it just starts to look like it's ready to be picked.
Yeah, it'll just basically falls over, like it dies and lays down. Yeah, and so then it's time to dig them up. And again, you do want to go ahead and dig them up at that point, because by leaving them in, you're going to actually risk it turning cold and getting moist and them rotting. So go ahead, as soon as they lay down, go ahead and harvest them. Because there is a little bit of a process after that. Now, harvesting
there
them, if your soil's good, harvesting them is easy. You can just kind of pop them right up out of the ground. If your soil's kind of hard, you might have to use like a potato fork or something, or just
a garden fork and kind of gently
kind of pop them up out of the ground. My soil's pretty good, so they usually come up pretty easy. But not everywhere. Like if I did plant some around some trees or whatever, where the soil is a little more compacted,
those are
I sometimes have to dig those up. Yeah. I have to dig those up sometimes. So yeah, there is some of that.
But you want to try to not damage that outside, because they won't store as well then.
Yeah. Which part of the storing, before you can get to even the storing, you have to dry your onions.
Yeah. You kind of have to cure them.
Yeah. That's for storage. Now you could use them right away and you could start, if you needed to use one, you don't have to dry them to use them. They're fine to use just like they are. They're like wet and harder to cut, cause they'll slide all over your countertop and things like that. I don't know if you get that experience when you're trying to cut a fresh onion and it's popping across the counter cause you're trying to cut it.
Yeah. There's a lot of moisture in there. There is a lot of moisture on a fresh onion.
Yeah. But to store them, you're going to have to dry them. And we've talked a little bit about that, because you just on the last episode we did together, we were talking about making a rack for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had mine on my porch this year and I kept having to run out. We had the huge drought and then we had all this rain and I kept having to run out and put tarps and cover them because I was trying to get that outside to dry out a little bit before I brought them in to store them.
I've had the same experience. I've dried them out in different locations. One time I did it in the area where I keep my rabbits and my quail, which I felt a little bit unsanitary to do that. So I quit doing that. Okay. Even though it was a great place because I got good airflow through there. I already got fans going in there for the animals. It's dry because there's a roof over it. You know, I mean, it's kind of a good location, but then it just felt like weird to be drying out my food where I've got animals, you know, so right. I kind of quit doing that. So I kind of moved out into my grape vineyard area, and I have like a pergola area over there with like a fence over it, and I was just dropping them down in that, but that's not got a roof over it. So if it rains, I kind of got to be try to do that when it's dry. We have a lot of dry days in the fall, so if I get lucky, might have a couple weeks with no rain, so it works out well. I might be able to do it. I have actually just I have a table in my gazebo, and I've just spread them out all over the table and dried them like that. It's better
it's really
to hang
simple.
Them, but
yep,
I've spread them out
dry.
On the table, and there's good airflow through there, and they got good, you know, so, you know, it just, they dried out fine right there. But we have a lot of them, so might have to do it in stages right. even on that.
Yeah.
A couple weeks, generally, I find they're pretty dry. You can kind of tell, it's kind of like with garlic. I kind of tell by the neck. I kind of feel down by the neck of it where it comes in
yes.
the top, and I'll kind of push my thumb in there. And if that feels real brittle, they're good and dry. You can kind of tell.
Yeah.
That's starting to get really good and brittle right there.
Well, and the ends get, the leaves get real dry. And,
yeah. And yeah. just like garlic, if you, there is a way that you can braid them. You can leave
that's
that
what
green
I do.
On there. You can braid onions.
Yep.
I do garlic. Onions are a little bit more difficult because I find that the leafy part, the green part isn't as strong as garlic.
Yeah. It can break off. So I don't actually braid mine. Actually, I've tried to find the video of this. I watched somebody do it and it was easy. I use like a piece of cotton yarn or string, and I actually cut the end of it a little bit longer, several inches, and I twist it.
Okay.
And I have mine hanging in, I don't know, they're bunches of like 20 onions.
Yeah,
they're
I've tried
nails.
I might have to look for something like that because I've tried to braid mine, but it's so brittle. I find it always so brittle that they just break off and I can't get them to braid good like I can with garlic. But you can just put them in a net bag, get you like some kind of a net bag or keep them in.
Or nylons.
Nylons. Yeah, you can put them in
I just store mine up off the floor. I find that they store longer if I have them like hanging on a nail or where
I figured out what
airflow.
Not to do with them. I put some in a cardboard box one time.
Yeah,
don't do that. They will go rotten on you for sure. Mine did. And we lost a bunch last year. Matter of fact,
bummer.
That went. Yeah. I had 100 or so in the cardboard boxes. Cause I thought I'd heard somebody say they stored theirs in boxes and I thought I'd try it. And I put some wood chips in there and I thought it would like take any moisture out and stuff and kind of put
and
them
it
in.
Didn't
the
work.
Oh no, they rotted. I mean, they went rotten. They got rancid rotten. I mean, it was bad. They stunk. I mean, that's how I discovered them that they were stinking.
They smelled. Ooh.
Yeah. They was putting off some, and then go look at the box, pick it up, and it's just dripping almost wet, you know, where they just went rotten in there. I was like, oh, that's not good. So yeah, don't do that. But yeah, you can twist them together, braid them, store them in net bags or nylons or whatever. And they do. Now, do you freeze yours? Because I've never tried freezing.
I have frozen them. I don't do it often because freezer space is kind of at a premium, but I have frozen them. I just dice them. You don't need to, when you do onions, they're one of the few vegetables that you don't have to blanch before you dehydrate or you freeze. So you just literally just dice them. I like to have mine so you can grab just like a handful out of the baggie. Mm-hmm. So I will usually dice them and put them on like a cookie sheet and flash and freeze them. And then I'll put them in a baggie so they're loose in the baggie.
Yeah.
And then drying, same thing. You can just dice them and put them in a dehydrator.
Dehydrated them in the, you know, that way we always have a jar of them for cooking or whatever.
Yeah.
Some dried onions to throw in a soup or whatever. They're great for that. And you got a quick access to them in a jar or whatever. So we always do dehydrate some. And I love having a few jars of those dehydrated, but I'd never tried freezing them. I didn't even know that you could freeze them really. I didn't know if they would freeze
it's
well.
It's pretty easy.
Awesome.
It's nice for the same reason, you know, but it's at a premium, so I don't do it a lot. So
yeah. So like everything we've been talking about here, this is for people kind of in our zones, because like I say, if you're doing the short day onions down south, it's going to look completely different. You're going to start your seeds, I guess, late summer. And I don't know, it'd be different. You're just going to basically back up 12 weeks, I guess, to when you're wanting to drop them in the ground. And I'm assuming that's how it would work. And it's just going to be a little different. I don't know anything about growing those, so I can't I mean, I could have done some more research into it and looked into it a little bit better, but there's probably people out there with more information for you folks that would serve you better on that. But for us, this is how we do it. You know, it's just, and it works well. I mean, now I am looking, I'm really, the walking onions are really appealing to me. I'm wanting to really get in more, we have grown chives and we still have chives.
Yeah, I have perennial. Chives, yeah.
They come back every year. So, I mean, there's, so you get the benefits from all those things as well, but I love a big, giant, good onion to slice up and use in cooking and sandwiches and whatnot. I mean, so this is what we
I actually planted shallots last year too. Yeah. So we will see. That's an experiment still ongoing, but similar
family. I love
growing
stuff like this. And it's all this stuff grows so easy to me. I mean, I don't know if everybody has that experience, but I just find it some of the easiest stuff you'll grow in your garden and some of the most rewarding things you'll grow in your garden.
Right.
Because you can, you know, store them for months and it's easy to handle. And you just get this big harvest, you know, that just feels good. It feels like I'm putting some food in my, you know, in my storage here.
When we grow these organically, I don't even know what organic onions cost, but, you know, you're growing them organically, and I especially like roots to be grown organically because they're just sitting in that.
Yeah.
In that, whatever it is they put on the soil. So, you know, that's why I like growing them. Plus, like you, there's just many benefits to growing.
Yeah. These. You'll feel like a successful prepper when you pull in a couple hundred onion bulbs or onion, you know, big old onions and put them in your cupboards or whatever, or hang them in bags or whatever. It puts a lot of food in your pantry. It just does. And you feel good about it. And it's just one of the things that's easy and has it makes a noticeable difference.
And what if you're a new gardener.
Yeah.
I think it's a great place to start with some of these simpler, easy, rewarding.
Yeah. And just one of them things that, like I said, it'll give you some success, a feeling of success. And it's just, if you like to grow what you eat and you eat onions, there's really no reason not to grow your own onions. I mean, it's just, you're going to feel good about it. Every year, it's just a thing. I mean, I've been growing them for so long now that it's just like, I can't imagine not having onions come out of my garden. I mean, we get such an abundance of them.
It's kind of like everything. Once you've had it fresh, there's just no going back to the store.
I almost don't even think about it being like, when I mention things I grow, it's like, I forget onions because it's just such a staple and it's such a common thing to me now to have onions that I don't even mention it sometimes when I'm talking about things I grow because it's just, it's there all the time. You know, it's just something, and it's just so easy to do everything with, you know, I like it. So anyway, there's why you should grow onions in your homestead. I hope that helped a little bit help you determine what kind of onions to grow. We didn't get into like the certain kinds of varieties. No. We talked about, like I said, long day neutral, short day. If you know that and you kind of know what kind of onion you like, jump in the seed catalogs and just read about the different, because they'll tell you some of the qualities of those onions. And then all you really need to know is if it's a long day or neutral, whatever, for your area. And then you can kind of determine the variety that you feel like might fit your homestead best, what you might like to eat. Go with that. Some do store better. They'll tell you that. Some are sweeter.
Yes,
they'll tell you that. All the descriptions in those seed catalogs will tell you kind of, these are a store, you know, one you would store. These are ones for, you know, like a sweet. They'll give you the description on that. So just go with that. I think that's the simplest way to do it. There's so many varieties out there. We don't want to turn it into a show where we're just doing nothing but talking about the varieties of onions, because there's a lot. I mentioned the couple that I'm going with this year from Baker Creek, but I can't tell you for sure how well those are going to do if I like them or not. It's kind of an experiment year for me on those.
And with the link with Johnny's, I am sure Johnny's is a huge catalog. They probably sell
tons,
at least
varieties.
A dozen varieties.
There's a bunch of onion varieties.
Yeah.
Or you can keep it simple and just run down to your feed store and get in the bin this spring and dig out some sets and plop them in the ground and keep it simple and have a nice little decent onion harvest of probably not real big giant onions, but you know what? They're going to do fine. They're going to be great. For cooking and slicing up for a sandwich or whatever, they're going to do great for you. They have for me for years and they work great. So, and I'll do that again this year too, even though I got some going from seed, I'll do that as well. I'll run down there and buy a couple pounds of them and plop 100 more in the ground, you know, or whatever. I just will. I just, cause I like planting them. I like having plenty of them. So That's the show on onions. I'm getting started with onions. You got anything else you want to add, Rachel?
You made me hungry.
Yeah, I'm thinking
now I want to go fry up some onions and eat some onions.
I do, man. I'm cooking up like some eggs or whatever in the morning. I'll drop some onions in there while I'm cooking them up in my omelet or whatever. Yeah, good stuff. Love it. Yeah, I love some onions. But I do think I need to go set a grow tent up because I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, I got a lot more I'm wanting to start from seed indoors this year. And
yeah, that's my goal this week is to get my onions in at some point. I was going to do it Saturday and I ended up cooking all day and having to work. So it didn't happen.
Well, I think that's it then. So folks, thanks for joining us. And until next show, happy homesteading. God bless.
And grow where you're planted.
Looking around, I finally see, I think I need a change. The rat race, I want to flee, my world I'll rearrange. I'm getting back to the roots of how it's meant to be. Growing gardens, picking fruit, raising livestock, living free. It's a modern homestead. We do here every day, snapping beans like grandma did, sitting on her front porch, hunting and fishing like a kid, once you've done all of your chores, it's a modern homestead. Today.